There's so much cash on hand in a lot of people's investments between CDs and money markets and everything else. Here's the question. Even earning 3.5%, are they losing money? Inflation, right? People look at cash as safe, but really, it's a loss of buying power.
Just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on the Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on 5 key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on Processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
It's The Retirement Trainer with Ed Sedell, a podcast about finding ways to help you become financially fit for your future, no matter what financial shape you're in now. Cash is king, or is it? Today, we're going to talk about how much cash you should have as part of your investments, how much you should have on hand, and does it really matter? In addition, we're going to talk about the Trump accounts, who qualifies, and how do we save money for our kids and grandkids? This is Leanne Sedell, and here to help us with all our questions, to give us some guidance to help us stay in the best financial shape possible, the Retirement Trainer, Ed Sedell. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Leanne. Cash is king, or is it? Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the real question. When you talk about cash, there's so much cash sitting on the sidelines between short-term investments, short-term like CDs, high-yield savings accounts, money market accounts. It's about $7.9 trillion. So that's a lot.
Yep. Not to mention all the mattress money.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right? And our firm, we believe in having emergency funds on hand, 6 to 12 months cash reserves. But there's so much cash on hand in a lot of people's investments between CDs and money markets and everything else. Here's the question. Even earning 3.5%, are they losing money? Inflation, right? People look at cash as safe, but really it's a loss of buying power.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why you want to make sure that you do have cash on hand. And, you know, if you're going to do CDs, you can ladder them. There's a whole lot of different strategies. If you have big expenses coming up, new HVAC, all of those things, you want to have enough cash on hand to take care of those, especially if there's a downturn in the market. You know, you don't want to sell those investments at a loss. And that's why you want to have cash on hand, especially if you know something's coming up in the next 12 to 18 months. Plus, you know, emergency funds, 6 to 12 months. So yep. That's a big deal. But having so much cash and not having it work for you could be a losing proposition long term.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's so many people right now that are, they're going to their local bank and they're trying to find ways of capturing some of those things that they either see in a commercial or they see online. And a lot of times they'll go to their local bank and it doesn't apply to them. It applies to new funds coming in the door, or there's a caveat to the amount of money that they have to invest in order to get that. So I do think a lot of people find themselves, their hands are tied. They're just staying in the savings account that's generating 0.8% interest.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, and it's,
we know
also
a lot
semantics
of people like that. Yes.
Yeah. And it's semantics too, because we were just talking to somebody this morning and they were saying, you know, money market, my banker said just to put it in the savings account instead of the money market. And I questioned him and I said, really? He said, yeah, our money market was only paying 1.2, but the savings, because it was a high yield savings, was 3.7.
Hmm.
And so understanding, and I never thought about that until this morning, I'm like, you know what? You really have to educate yourself. Say, okay, what are the types of accounts that you have that you offer? What's the return on each one? And is there a cost? Because some checking accounts, you could have $25,000 in there or $20,000, $15,000, whatever it is. And not only are you not getting a rate of return, but they could be charging you a fee.
Oh, yeah.
And so having all that money in cash, if it's inflation adjusted, we just talked about that, but here's a really good example. So just last month, there were inflation headlines of 4.2%. And yet a 1 month treasury was 3.7. So you're upside down. You're actually, you know, losing a half a percent just in that 1 month. You know, and if it's month after month after month, it erodes your buying power. And what does that look like? Now, for some, it doesn't make a difference. But for a lot of people, as rates go down and you're coming out of CDs, you're laddering those CDs and you're having to buy new instruments, new CDs and things, now all of a sudden they could be at lower rates. So this is why having a plan is so important. You want to make sure that you understand the situation that you're in, how much cash you should have, how much cash you need to have.
How much is too much to have.
Oh, there you go. Boom, boom. Right? Yeah. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time on the podcast, the safety, income, and growth. And I do think it's worth talking about it again, just because I think it's even more important right now when we're talking about the market and the craziness of the market. When you have that strategy of the safety, income, and growth, you don't have to worry about that.
You're exactly right. And it does. It makes a huge difference. And there was a study, and I was just trying to find it here real quick. I don't know what I did with it, but basically what it was showing was you invested $100. Well, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it because I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like $1 or $100. And if you let it continue to invest over that time through now, all of a sudden it grew to like $2,000.
Here's where it says it's on this back page.
I can't even read my own notes. Isn't that horrible? Oh my God.
$1 invested in stock in 1926. Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah.
All right. Would have grown to $2,000 compared to the 10-year treasury bond growing to $129 and the inflation at 19. So I'm just going through your notes.
Yeah, so that treasury, you know, think of that 10-year treasury as a savings account during that same time period, right? So you're losing all that buying power and what it's eroding. And so really that's the lesson that we're talking about here. Cash is king to a certain point, and then it could be detrimental to your overall success in retirement. But it all depends on the outcome that you want. That's really what it comes down to. And a lot of people now, we're seeing a lot of our clients do living legacies, right? Yeah. Which is, okay, they have this cash on hand, they're helping their kids, their grandkids, you know, with school, down payments on houses, and especially with their grandkids. Funding UTMAs, unified gift to minors, unified trust to minors, transfer to minors. And now the new Trump 530A, which is the Trump account.
Yeah. I saw recently there are multiple different ways to sign up for those Trump accounts. One way was through your taxes. I mean, if you had a new child like that was born in 2025, literally it was that simple to sign up for the Trump accounts by just indicating that you, I didn't look at the 1040, but many of the people that have come in here over the last couple of months have said that it was an option to do through your tax returns. So
yeah,
I don't think they're making it very complicated for you to grab that $1,000 for the Trump account.
And millions and millions have already signed up for it. I think it's estimated, you know, close to another 2 million are still eligible to sign up for it. So here are some of the rules, because it was really kind of murky. And so I just wanted to kind of go through to give everyone an outline as to, all right, I think we put this on our blog too.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So the Trump account is really a 530A account. So a 530A is the tax code, like a 401K is really just a tax code, a 403B. Okay. Those are all tax codes. All right. So a child qualifies, the initial seed grant of $1,000 provides. All right. So if they were born January 1st of 2025 through December 31st of 2028, are U.S. citizens and have a valid Social Security number, they get $1,000.
But I thought that it was also, so give the stats also, if you have a child under the age of 18, maybe that's what I...
Well, and if you have a child under the age of 18, you can fund it. It's kind of like an IRA, right? It's a deduction on your taxes. It doesn't have to be earned income like a custodial Roth IRA. You know what? Let's go through that too, but let's talk about this and we'll go through the difference between this and a Roth custodial Roth IRA, because that's probably one of the unique things is that you can put money into this each and every year, and it doesn't have to be earned income. You can use it for education. You can't use it through K through 12, but once you become 18 years of age, if you pull it out and you cash it in, then, you know, there's the early withdrawal penalty, just like it is with the IRA, you know, and a lot of those things still apply, but you can use it for education, and that's the huge bonus, right? So you don't get hit with any of those penalties or interest. Here's what I like. They're keeping the investment choices in the Trump account super simple. There are passive strategies, basically index strategies, right? Low cost, institutional type, low expense ratio funds.
You don't have to have them managed by an advisor. It's basically how they're making it that simple that it can just float there for a period of time in those index.
You're exactly right. And here is the coolest thing. All right. So contributions from individuals and employers are allowed up to a combined total of $5,000 a year. All right. And it's not earned. All right. So employers can contribute up to $2,500 per year without that amount being counted as taxable income for the employee. That's a great bonus, right? Oh, here you go. Where you've got kids. All right. You know what? You did a great job. You know, your bonus this year, we're going to put in $500, $1,000, $1,500, $2,500, and we're going to put it into a Trump account for your kid.
Is this to make up for the Secure Act that they took away?
That $2.9 trillion that they were trying to capture in taxes kind of went away with the $2.9 trillion kind of disappeared with the $7 plus trillion that we overspent that year for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. But that's really, really cool is that the employers can give bonuses to their employees and help the families out.
Yeah. Now, they needed to find, again, a lot of people have battled with 529s for a really, really long time because of the restrictions after some abuse happened, I guess, on those plans. So they narrowed things down quite substantially. So a lot of people have moved away from 529s. This is definitely giving options on putting that money away.
And more families are doing this. You know, we're seeing as boomers are retiring, families are opening up more and more accounts for their kids than ever before. Accounts rose from 1.2 million in 2021 to 5.8 million in 2023, and they continue to rise.
They're quickly realizing also some of the ways in which they've saved money while they've been alive have not been what would be very conducive to their family after they pass. I mean, I think a lot of people are coming to grips with the fact that the Secure Act stepping in, and for those that are non-spousal, it could be where pennies on the dollar for what they would have inherited otherwise.
Being able to, prior to the Secure Act, which was effective January 1st of 2020, basically for a non-spouse receiving an inherited IRA, you could have really stretched it out over your lifetime. You would have been taking required minimum distributions, but it was based on your life expectancy. So if you were 18 and you received $1 million, your RMD would have been a lot less than someone who was 50. Yeah. And getting that same RMD because you could have stretched it out. But now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everyone's the same. You know, you have to take it out at the end of 10 years, no matter what.
And for a lot of us who their parents are passing, I'm going to use myself as an example. It tends to happen when you're, if they live a good long life, you're somewhere between 50 and 65 when your parents pass away. You're probably at the top of your tax bracket as far as earning at that stage. Well, and that's why it becomes such a big burden is because taking out 10% each year of having to put that money out of that account within that 10-year time frame could be where the money that your parents have left you, you get a small portion, a much smaller portion. You get pennies on the dollar,
right? And that's the whole thing. When you're putting money away like this, it really is, well, let's talk about conventional financial wisdom, right? Because we're all told, even you and I, look, put money away pre-tax, let it grow tax deferred, get the tax deduction now, because when you retire,
going to be making less.
Making less and paying way less in taxes. And that's not always necessarily the case. More times than not, it's not the case. And that's a big deal because these Trump accounts, it's really the law of compounding interest. Einstein said the greatest scientific discovery point during his lifetime was compounding interest.
Yeah.
And that is a huge, huge deal. And what a great way to financially educate your kids, your grandkids. Hey, this is the money that we're putting away. Let's go through and take a look at it. And you can really teach them how to be good stewards and why you're saving money and watching it grow and help them become fiscally responsible and then have our grandkids teach, you know, those in DC how to become fiscally responsible.
Well, the one guarantee that we definitely have, and that's pretty much, I think, across the board, is taxes are not going to get any cheaper. For our kids, the way that you look at the deficit right now, we can pretty much, you do need to find other ways of saving money. You do need to find ways of leaving money in a fiscally responsible way to your kids.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. So one of the ways that the most popular way are 529 plans.
Yeah.
You can fund it. There's really no limitation on it. You can actually what they call super fund it, which is up to 90, 95,000. I think it's 95,000 before you have to file a gift tax, right? You could do more than that. It just goes against your gift tax exemption. And, you know, that's a great way to give, but you need to understand the impact that that's going to have on scholarships and needs and everything else down the road. But if you're giving a living legacy, it's a great way to do it.
Not to mention, I mean, again, the restrictions, if they don't go to school, how you transfer that money.
And the penalties.
And the penalties.
Because you can convert it to a Roth on earned income, yep. Right? You actually have to have the earned income to be able to get it out.
And there's even a maximum, isn't it? Like $35,000.
So. Yeah. And we see this now, right? Parents overfunded it. The kids did really well and got scholarships, and they got $100,000, $150,000 trapped in a 529 plan. They can't get it out. Or they decided to go to HVAC school, and which you can use the 529, but it's a fraction of the cost.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? So then I think, are they able to then hand that? Is it able to go generationally to
You can. Yep. Because the benefactor can actually move it from one kid to another kid to your grandkids, et cetera. So that's good, right? Without there being any penalties.
Exactly. Otherwise, that tax savings that you had for putting that away is coming right back.
The tax savings on that's kind of limited anyways, for sure. All right. So a couple of the other ways are through UGMAs, which is a Uniform Gifts to Minor Act, or an UTMA, it's Uniform Transfers or Trust to Minors Act. So really what that does is it becomes their money as soon as they become of age at the age of 18. A lot of parents and grandparents have those funded, and the kids don't even know until much later age. But once they become of age, the kids have to know if you're going to change investments. So,
and that account freezes up on you if you do not transfer it into the.
Yes, it
does. And that means any trading, anything, it's locked up. If you do not transfer that, we have people that have custodial accounts, and it happens. Regardless, it's going to be frozen. So you can choose not to do anything on that account. But that means that you
can't do anything on that account.
Everything's locked up.
Yep.
So for all of you out there that still have your name on your kid who's 20 years old account, go back and look at that statement that you haven't looked at for a while, because it probably has done nothing but sit there frozen. Anyway.
And then the other option, right, is a custodial Roth IRA.
Yeah.
So
they are held to limits on that.
Yeah. $7,500, the funding this year, but it has to be earned income.
Yep.
So how does a two-year-old earn $7,500? Well, as a business owner, they could be a model on your website or brochures or something like that.
I mean, that's
no,
really. Hey.
Yeah, I mean,
I was waiting for you to come up with occupation was there.
Right.
So.
Well, it's got to make sense.
Yeah.
Right? Check with your CPA and your advisors and make sure that it makes sense and you're following all the rules. But it does have to be earned income. So that's a big deal. We did get a call from a client's son, and he had done a phenomenal job saving. The problem was it was all last year and didn't have any earned income this year. So it was all from 2025, and this was 2026, and it was after the deadline. And he's like, well, can I just do it for last year? I was like, well, it's past. He goes, can I do it for this year? I was like, well, how much have you earned? He's like, nothing. I was like, it's got to be earned income. He's like, so the earnings that I make on it now are just going to be taxable. And I'm like, unfortunately, they are until you earn that money. Now, next year, right, if you're going back and you're making more money and it's in your savings account, you can use that money to fund it. So if you make $3,000, you could put $3,000 in. If you make $5,000, you can put $5,000 in, up to this year, $7,500. And the cool thing about that is when you put money into a Roth, you can always pull that contribution back out without penalties. You just can't touch the gains until 59 and a half. So
on the custodial Roth, they don't have the 5-year requirement then?
Right. Not on the withdrawals. But typically on the custodial Roth, the kids aren't going to know about it anyways. But it's a great way to save for college. Just another way to go through. But all right, man, I think we covered an awful lot of stuff in a very, very short period of time. So basically, all right, so let's just kind of summarize. So cash is king. 6 to 12 months, safety, income, and growth. You got to have money set aside for emergencies and any big expenses, but let that money go to work for you, because you're going to lose money. It's really not that safe because you have inflationary risks, FDIC up to $250,000 per different types of account titles. So make sure you do your homework and set aside what you need and maybe even a little cash on hand. Gifting, living legacy, great way to do it is Trump accounts. Business owners, what a great way to help your employees, right, and your team members. They have a bonus, give them the option. Hey, is this what you want to do? That's a great way to do it. And if you're a business owner and you've got kids, what a great way to start Roth IRAs if you actually employ them. Yeah, now all of a sudden you can fund the Roth.
Again, we funnel everything back to the plan. And do you have a plan in place? Have you had the discussion about what is the purpose of the money that you have? And that is where everything starts. It starts from there. You got to have these discussions about the five worlds in your financial plan. So, all right, Ed. So if people want to get a hold of you, the best way to get a hold of you is through our website at egsifinancial.com. You can go on there and you can send a message directly through the site, or you can email us at info@egsifinancial.com or give the office a call at 614-526-4118. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Leanne.
Tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance. Because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with the Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into five simple steps. It's the Retirement Fitness Plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the Retirement Fitness Plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to the Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio license number 102-0619.